Lesson 2. The Bible gives hope. People around the world deal with problems that cause them to feel sadness, anxiety, and even pain. Have you ever faced a situation that made you feel those things? Perhaps you are suffering because of an illness or because someone you love has died. You may ask yourself, will life ever get better? The Bible provides a reassuring answer to that question. Point 1. How does the Bible give hope? The Bible not only explains why the world is filled with problems, but also shares the good news that these problems are temporary and will soon be gone. The Bible's promises can give you a future and a hope. Jeremiah 29:11-12 says, "For I well know the thoughts that I am thinking toward you, declares Jehovah, thoughts of peace and not of calamity, to give you a future and a hope. And you will call me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you." Those promises help us to cope with our present problems, to have a positive attitude, and to find lasting happiness. Point 2. What kind of future does the Bible describe? The Bible describes a future time when death will be no more, neither will mourning, nor outcry, nor pain be anymore. Revelation 21:4 says, "And he will wipe out every tear from their eyes, and death will be no more. Neither will mourning, nor outcry, nor pain be anymore. The former things have passed away." The problems that can make life seem hopeless today, such as poverty, injustice, sickness, and death, will no longer exist. The Bible promises that humans will be able to enjoy life forever in paradise on earth. Point 3. How can you build up your trust in the hope the Bible gives? Many people hope for good things to happen, but they cannot be sure that their hopes will ever be fulfilled. What the Bible promises is different. We can build up our trust in what it says by carefully examining the Scriptures, as Acts 17:11 says. As you study the Bible, you will be able to decide for yourself whether you can believe what it says about the future.
Dig deeper. Examine some of the conditions that the Bible promises for the future. See how the hope the Bible gives is helping people today. Point 4. The Bible offers the hope of everlasting life in perfect conditions. Look at the following list of promises found in the Bible. Which ones especially appeal to you? Why? Picture living in a world where no one will feel pain, weaken with age, or have to die. Isaiah 25:8 says, "He will swallow up death forever, and the sovereign Lord Jehovah will wipe away the tears from all faces. The reproach of his people he will take away from all the earth, for Jehovah himself has spoken it. No one will get sick or live with a disability." Isaiah 33:24 says, "And no resident will say, 'I am sick.' The people dwelling in the land will be pardoned for their error." Chapter 35, verses 5 and 6 say, "At that time the eyes of the blind will be opened, and the ears of the deaf will be unstopped. At that time the lame will leap like the deer, and the tongue of the speechless will shout for joy. For waters will burst forth in the wilderness, and streams in the desert plain. No one will experience injustice." Isaiah 32:16 and 17 says, "Then justice will reside in the wilderness, and righteousness will dwell in the orchard. The result of true righteousness will be peace, and the fruitage of true righteousness will be lasting tranquility and security. No one will suffer as a result of war." Psalm 46:9 says, "He is bringing an end to wars throughout the earth. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He burns the military wagons with fire." No one will be plagued by troubling thoughts or memories. Isaiah 65:17 says, "For look, I am creating new heavens and a new earth, and the former things will not be called to mind, nor will they come up into the heart." Everyone will see dead loved ones resurrected, brought back to life on earth. John 5:28 and 29 says, "Do not be amazed at this, for the hour is coming in which all those in the memorial tombs will hear his voice and come out, those who did good things to a resurrection of life, and those who practiced vile things to a resurrection of judgment." Everyone will enjoy good health and youthful energy. Job 33:25 says, "Let his flesh become fresher than in youth. Let him return to the days of his youthful vigor." Everyone will have plenty to eat, a comfortable home, and satisfying work. Psalm 72:16 says, "There will be an abundance of grain on the earth. On the top of the mountains, it will overflow. His fruit will flourish as in Lebanon, and in the cities, people will blossom like the vegetation of the earth." Isaiah 65:21 and 22 says, "They will build houses and live in them, and they will plant vineyards and eat their fruitage. They will not build for someone else to inhabit, nor will they plant for others to eat. For the days of my people will be like the days of a tree, and the work of their hands my chosen ones will enjoy to the full." Everyone will experience complete peace. Psalm 37:11 says, "But the meek will possess the earth, and they will find exquisite delight in the abundance of peace." Everyone will live forever in ideal conditions. Psalm 37:29 says, "The righteous will possess the earth, and they will live forever on it." Do you feel that these scriptures give hope? Could they give hope to your family and friends? Point 5. The Bible's hope can make a difference. Many people are discouraged or even angered by the problems they see around them. Some fight to try to change things for the better. See how the Bible's promise that things will get better helps people now. Listen to the audio for the video, "I Wanted to Fight Injustice." To find all media for Lesson 2, go to the publication Enjoy Life Forever on JW.org.
Growing up in the South, during the time of segregation, blacks and whites, we couldn't mix. And not only that, they had signs to keep you knowing where you're supposed to go. I couldn't understand why we couldn't get along.
50 Cent?
Yes, sir. Thank you, sir.
Grandma, he's just a boy. Why are you saying sir?
Be quiet. I want you to know your place.
I told her after we got back on the truck, you know, like, I'll never hold my head down, you know. My grandmother, she knew I had a love for the Bible because I would always read the Bible as a kid.
Praise ye the name of the Lord.
But I couldn't understand it. I used to pray, what makes us so different? You know, why we can't live together? I met a group, and this group was like what I really wanted to be in. It was about politics. They said, we fight injustice. And when they said that word injustice, it was like, yeah, this is what I want to be in, right? Be part of something that could change and make people united, right? That was my goal. We started protesting about police brutality, and I think that's what a lot of people, you know, was focusing on. I liked some of the things that they was doing, but they trained us every day in military training, learn how to use weapons and stuff like that. And so I'm thinking like, this is not what I want to be in. This is not what I join. So I start going back to God again, to reading the Bible, because it's like, I'm not changing anything. The Bible that I was reading was the King James Version. So I was reading it, but I couldn't understand it. We went to Jamaica, and I saw this Bible, the New World Translation. And I started reading it, and it made so much sense. I could understand it, and it wasn't thee and thou. I was like, wow! You know, like, this is the one I want to get. One day, two women knocked on the door. I didn't know they were Jehovah's Witnesses. All I could see was a Bible. And I said, where did you get the Bible from? And they said, well, okay, we'll bring you one. And they did, so they brought me the Bible, but I didn't know I was gonna have a Bible study come along with it. The first time I went to a convention of Jehovah's Witnesses, it was like 10,000 people. When I go in there and I see all these different faces and different color, it's like Jehovah showing me like, hey, Rafika, remember you asking me about all different people getting together and being one? See, I'm not partial. They do get along. We are unified. And it just made me feel so good inside. Yes, this is the organization that I want to be in. I just see people as people, you know. And I can preach and be friends with anybody. Now that I know what the Bible really teaches, I have a wonderful life. Because I know that only God and His government can bring about peace. Just like how Jehovah would unify everybody, I would like for everybody to be unified and come to know Jehovah, just like I know Him. Jehovah answered my prayer.
In the video, what injustice troubled Rafika? Although the injustice that she saw did not go away, how did the Bible help her? The hope that the Bible offers for the future can help us to battle discouragement and cope with our problems successfully. Proverbs 17:22 says, "A joyful heart is good medicine, but a crushed spirit saps one's strength." Romans 12:12 says, "Rejoice in the hope. Endure under tribulation. Persevere in prayer." Do you think that the message of hope found in the Bible could make a difference in your life now? Why? Some people say,
"The Bible's promises for the future are too good to be true."
Why do you think it is important to examine the evidence?
Summary. The Bible gives us hope and helps us to cope with challenges by promising a future filled with happiness. Review. Why do people need hope? What does the Bible say about the future? How can having a hope for the future help you now? Goal. Become more familiar with the Bible's promises by reading the verses listed in this lesson. Set other goals.
Explore. Learn more about the power of hope. Read Hope, Where Can You Find It? In Awake, April 22, 2004. Discover how hope for the future can help those who are living with chronic illness. Read the web article, Living with Chronic Illness. Can the Bible help? When you watch the music video entitled Imagine the Time, picture yourself and your family enjoying life in the Bible's promised future paradise.
Imagine the time when there's no more pain, when life's so good.
Read how a social activist's life changed once he learned the Bible's hope for the future. See the article, I No Longer Feel That I Have to Change the World, in The Watchtower, July 1, 2013. End of Lesson 2.